And so to guest number two. 2,961 is the number that is often associated with this gentleman. He was first on the honours boards in 1972-3, and he's the only back here tonight. He's not known as the boot for nothing. Peter Butler.
Ian mentioned the boot. What is it about this place that kind of you took to your heart and made you want to stay here, play your rugby and break records?
I was born in Alvin Street. It was always an ambition, having played rugby at Cripps School, come from there. We had Horace Edwards there as the games master, an old Welshman, played for Pontypool and that sort of thing in those days. And he just hammered it into us, you know, that the top-class rugby was where you needed to be. I went to uni, had the thought that all the way through that I would return home and go back to O'Cryptians and then perhaps go from there. But those days, it was difficult to get in there. I mean, they had a guy called Eric Stevens there in my day, and Ronnie Etheridge as well. Eric, a great goal kicker, an O'Cryptian as well. Ronnie, a running fullback, little Ronnie Etheridge, a running fullback, played for Scotland as well, and or was on the bench for Scotland, and you know, a great bunch of guys. And you know, when I got here, when I got back, I found out in times after that that, you know, I'd been watched by the county selectors and all this stuff while I was at university and playing up there. So it was nice to come here. Uncle Bob was here. Bob Butler was here as a prop. Played a lot of United rugby. Played sometimes in the first team as well. So, my cousin Paul was here as well as a fullback, a goal kicker. Not quite as good as me, I'm glad to say. So I took over from that sort of era. And I was saying to Alan earlier on now, I remember watching Eric Stevens in a seven-a-side competition. I think it was Plot Court or something like that, and they were playing the local combination sevens, and Eric was there. Eric Stevens, never known for his dress sense, I must say, but Eric was there, and he had on what looked like a lady's skirt, because it was flowing round his hips, you know, and he had this gait on him that he used to run like this, but by God, couldn't he kick goals. And since that time, Eric was my hero to follow, and I tell him to his face quite often. It embarrasses him quite a lot, but certainly he was a great guy to follow. And as soon as I got into the brotherhood here, you know, it felt like home. Really did.
So many of the great Gloucester heroes are forwards. You know, let's face it, the stuff it up the jumper and push, the shed heaving away. It's what Gloucester was made on. But you're a back, and you're so well loved here at the club for your points expectations. What's it like to be a back here at Gloucester?
A fullback who kicks goals, wonderful. Absolutely, absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Berto would always tell me, we do the hard work, but we do the grunt. He said, and when we get there, in the 22, in the 25 as it was then, when we get in the 25 or in the 10-yard line, he said, you kick the goals. You know, we'll make them transgress. You kick the goals. And that's how it was. I mean, we were a perfectly formed machine, I think, in those days. I mean, the Gloucester 8 was absolutely magnificent. You know, we had Mickey Burton, we had Mike Nichols, we had Robin Cowling at prop. You know, we had Big Fids at second row, you know, and Phil Winnell and all these sort of guys. And these were not men to mess with, I'll tell you, in those days. These were really hard men, I'll tell you. And some of them were good footballers as well. If you look at Mickey Burton. I mean, Mickey Burton scored a try, I think, against the All Blacks out here in 73. And it started off, I think he ran about 5 metres and dived over and touched it down. By the end of the day, it was 50 metres, I'll tell you, it was a wonderful try. And that was the infamous tour of Robin Murdoch, if you remember, the prop who came over here and went back in disgrace from the side there, you know, the prop for New Zealand. So he went back after the game at Cardiff, I think. So that was a hell of a tour for them. And Quite a baptism of fire in front of 16,000 or so out here, I'll tell you. They had seats on the touchline everywhere. They were absolutely wonderful. Health and safety nightmares.
2,961 points. What does it mean to you? Can you, when you walk into this place, does it still give you that tingle?
I don't walk in here very often, by the way. I've got a ticket with Brian Vine, who used to play in the centre down here. We sit in the back of the high-tech stand, and I'm still watching the game end on. And the forwards at Gloucester always used to tell me, you watch better, a lot more games than I've ever played in, the forwards used to tell me, because I used to stand at the back. They used to bring me up to kick the goals. But I scored a few tries as well, and Alan was alluding to the drop goal as well. I had a few of those as well. But I still feel like this is home. You know, they've changed the place quite a lot since I finished in 82. It still feels like home. There's a great buzz around it, and people still remember it. Oh, Shorty here. He still remembers me from those days, and we had some great times around here, I'll tell you. And you know, the amateur game was the amateur game. You know, we liked a few beers as well, and you know, it was a great camaraderie all the way through the club, really.
Not just, of course, Gloucester Rugby Club you represented. You represented your county as well. County finals, big days with the county. Do you look back at that and wish that those days were still around?
I think in those days it was a natural stepping stone, I think, to further rugby. They used to have a trial system then, where they used to have the possibles and the probables playing and all this type of thing. And it was an amateur game, I think, run by amateur people, really. And I think that was the beauty of it all in those days. It's a much, much more slick game altogether now, all the officialdom and all the people around to make it run in that fashion. And I know probably I could have made a lot of money out of the game if I'd been 15 or 20 years later. But I wouldn't swap those years that I had here for anything at all. You know, it was the epitome, really, of everything I wanted to do. And Gloucester would have done me. The county was a bonus. I mean, my first game of representative rugby was out here in front of 16,000 against the All Blacks, you know, the Southwest Counties, and it feels like a dream, you know. It's a strange thing, really, and you know. And I remember big Brian Williams, beautiful thighs he had, ladies, I'll tell you. Just when he bounced me off and scored in the corner, I tell you, I didn't feel very nice then. But certainly, it was a great feeling to be here, and I think the guys, you know, the modern guys, the modern rugby, I think they're a lot fitter than we were. They're obviously a lot more muscular than we are. I think I was 11 stone soaking wet out there, but I could kick a ball a long way, and that was my attribute. And there was a place for that, you know, in the style of rugby that was played in those days, and I fitted in quite well, I think.
Two England caps. Should it have been more?
We weren't very fashionable in those days, I don't think, you know.
Well, some would say there's still not. I mean, there are a few backs that would be crying for a place in that England side.
Absolutely, but in those days, Mickey Booth always used to tell the story. He was on a quiz one night, and he was asked a question by one of the quiz masters. Can you tell me, Mickey, how many caps did Dickie Jeeps get for England? And Dickie Jeeps was his big, you know, rival. And he stood up and he said, about 20 of mine, he said. And that just epitomised it, really. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I had two away games. One, I think, in Australia on Sydney Cricket Ground was a great day for me, a great day for my family, great day for the old school, and a great day for Gloucester, I think, as well. And although we lost 16-9, it was quite a close encounter there. Some say, mind you, that they couldn't afford to fly a replacement out. That's why I got my cap. But I would never say that. And the other game was at Parc des Princes in Paris, when Martin Cooper, who played for Moseley and outside half, he cried off. They did a reshuffle in the backs, and Chris Williams came in at outside half, and I played fullback. So two Gloucester players there that day. But I think they renamed Parc des Princes after the game to Parc des Princes because we lost 33-9, and it wasn't a good day. I kicked two goals, but it wasn't a good day for us.
2,961 points. How would you like to be remembered here at King's Own?
I think I'd like to be remembered as part of a successful side, part of a successful club. I was extremely pleased to get the opportunity. I had 10 years of great fun here, and I think that the guys these days, they must enjoy it. They do it for a living, but they still must enjoy what they do. And I'm happy to have pleased my family. My father's still over the moon about it all and mentions it to anybody everywhere. Right. So, it was a great... It was a challenge when I was younger. And just to have got there, I think, played here, played at county level, and we won the John Player Cup, of course, once when I was playing. And we had some great county level games as well. They were good guys, you know, the committee men there. And we had some great camaraderie in all of those games. And really, that's what epitomises it all for me. You know, you could play the opposition, have a really hard game, and the games were very hard then, very physical in those days. And there weren't the cameras around that are around these days. So, you know, what you did out there was almost behind closed doors. But we had a great camaraderie and with the opposition as well. You know, it was a great time to play rugby. And, you know, I was very pleased to be part of it, really.
Well, we could talk for hours. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Butler. Cheers, mate.